Schwatter, you were in Sydney yesterday for an absolute cracker of a final.
Yeah, it was low scoring, Dits, until after half time when John Longmire released Buddy Franklin. He went up the ground, they got going, they ended up winning by 24 points. Man, we're about to talk to Mr. Fairbit of footy, and I know for a fact he didn't like missing footy, but he was up to his neck in it yesterday. 27 touches, was an important player, jagged a goal, and it's Dan Hannabury. Welcome, Dan. You've got a week off, and a prelim final is booked.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for having us.
I just made mention of the fact that we called it on Triple M yesterday, and it was a real low-scoring arm wrestle until just after half-time. And whether or not the decision was made or Buddy took it upon himself, but his decision to be a person that distributed the ball by getting up the ground, I thought, really opened up the game, and then everybody started to get on the act.
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, I think in the first half, our boys going forward was really poor, and we were probably butchering entries and also just bombing it on bloke's head, and they had a few guys rolling back, Ibbots and a few other guys that were really, really early to get back. And I think it was important after halftime that we changed structure up a little bit. We used the ball differently, played some players in different positions, and from there, I think we're a little bit more effective. Having said that, I think throughout the day, something we can continue to work on.
Dan, Warren Treadrow here, mate. Congratulations yesterday into another prelim final and certainly a real chance of giving September a shake. But I think you were paid the ultimate compliment after yesterday's game. Ross Lyon said his midfield didn't do enough. For me, that's you guys were too good. Is it something you set yourself for because you knew Fife was back and you knew they're a pretty similar team to you? You got a lot of hard, tough nuts who get plenty of the footy.
Yeah, they're an extremely good midfield. I mean, they're big body players. And we rate them as one of the best midfielders in the competition. They're right up there, and we knew it was going to be a really, really tough battle for us, tough challenge, but especially Sandilands in there. And look, I thought we were really good in the first half. They started to get a little bit more ball in the second half, which was a bit concerning, and they certainly got off the leash a little bit. But I thought it was a pretty even battle throughout the whole day. I wouldn't say one midfield or the other really dominated. I thought it was a pretty even result in the end for both midfields.
Dan, you just mentioned Sandilands. How hard or how easy is it coming up against an opposition ruckman that is so dominant in terms of where he hits the ball?
Yeah, it looks pretty difficult. I mean, he's a super player, and it's a really big advantage having that sort of guy being able to tap it around. It's important for Mike Pike, which I thought he did reasonably well yesterday, to compete as hard as he could and do his best to get the ball into an area which we knew we could work from. So even though he did probably have dominance in the hit-outs, we sort of knew roughly where it was going. And that's where your midfielders can react and cover space and try and do your best to quell that influence in the game. So clearly it's an advantage, but I thought Mike Pike and Joey and Parks and these guys did really well to stop that sort of influence he can have.
Do you try to shark the ball off his hands, though? I mean, that predominantly you're just trying to cut it off, aren't you?
Yeah, a little bit. Stages, he was really getting on top, and you just got to read what your Barlows and Fives and Munnies are doing. They were trying to go outside a lot, and they were yelling out different calls and going third up and hitting outside, especially in the second half, and they needed a win. So that's when you need to get on your toes, react, and know it's going outside, and get on your bike and cover that outside hit. And we're able to do that at Stages. I thought at different stages we didn't react quick enough, and they were able to get on the fly and get it going pretty quickly. So, yeah, it's important that you just try and get on the outside and block those hits.
The surface looked a little bit better yesterday than it was a week before, Dan.
Yeah, it was heaps better. I mean, obviously, I think there was a lot of rain last week leading to the Richmond game, but they did a super job this week getting the ground into a reasonable state. And there's a bit of rain that early Saturday morning. And besides one pocket in the ground, I thought the ground was in super nick.
Swatter briefly touched on Buddy Franklin pushing up and opening up the forward line. Is it something you spoke about, obviously, before the game, but then again at half-time? Because without McFarlane, without Johnson, Fremantle were exposed in key defence. And you guys, you're fit, you're firing, Tippett and Buddy, if you separate them, was that talked about?
Not really. We sort of obviously had Tippett on Buddy just trying to work pretty closely in that first half, and I think it wasn't really working. I mean, as I said earlier, our entries were pretty poor. Ibbotson was rolling off, Duffield, these sort of guys were getting back really quickly, and then midfield was working really hard into the defence. So all we needed to do was lower our eyes and just hit this short lead up and be a lot smarter with our ball use. And at that stage, you'll force guys to probably come back up on the men, and then you can kind of go long from there. So it was just a bit of cat and mouse there, and we just thought we didn't execute well with our ball use going forward in that first half.
Hey, Dan, you've got a team full of really big names, none bigger than Buddy Franklin, and he gets a lot of the accolades, and rightly so. But I'm keen to get your thoughts on a guy that just does the job, and yesterday's job on Hayden Ballantyne was first class. And that man I'm speaking of is Nick Smith.
Yeah, I mean, he's great effort from him this year to be out in that 40-man All-Australian squad, which I think he thoroughly deserves, because up until probably this year, he probably hasn't had the accolades he deserves in terms of the fact that we rate him as high as any other player on in our list that he just gets a job done each week and he gets the best opposition small forward. And yeah, really underrated player, I think. You know, really delivered for us yesterday, and I think his effort on Ballantyne was first class.
Dan, Adam Goods, been an ex-captain of that footy club, been a sensational player, dual Brownlow medalist, we know all of that. What's he like around the club at the moment? Copped a little bit of criticism a week ago, wasn't a great game yesterday. What's his body language like?
Yeah, he's been pretty upbeat, obviously. I mean, he's been rapid, he's been able to get through a full season, his body's feeling good. He's obviously won a qualifying final into a prelim, so he's through it, as is everyone else. And despite he had a few things going on last week, obviously, he's as professional as ever, and he went about his business this week and prepared really well, and as he does every week. And he's a great bloke to have around the footy club, and he's such a good role model. Certainly those sort of things that happened last week, albeit a minor, don't affect his attitude or the way he goes about his business day to day.
Dan, take that a little further. He's had to change his role. He's no longer the main man everyone talks about, the Swans. He was Mr. Fix-It there for a while, forward, back, ruck. He's won Brownlow medals, best and fairest everywhere. It now, a forward line is really conscious about Tippett and Buddy, then your midfield with you boys and Kennedy and all those guys. Has he had to change the way of his thinking to be like a bit part player now instead of being the main man, or has that had to been an evolution the last few years?
Yeah, I think he's, each week he's got a certain role for the team, and he's just trying to make sure he does it to the best of his ability. And whether it be being forward or pinch hitting in the midfield or starting on the wing, he's so versatile. He can play really anywhere, but he's been a really important player for us forward, obviously, this year. And despite him maybe not having the numbers he would like, he's still a critical element to our forward line. And he does a lot of sacrificial stuff that a lot of you guys wouldn't see. And he probably wouldn't have had the game he would have loved to in that first half. I thought in the second half he was really important in certain areas of the game. But, he's certainly been a very important player for us throughout the year.
Now, no doubt you saw Nick Malcheski at recovery this morning. What's an update on his hamstring?
Yeah, he seemed a little bit more buoyant this morning, which was great. He's not 100% sure if it's a bad one or not, and neither is anyone really until you get that scan. And we're just hoping it might be similar to Josh Kennedy's one a couple of weeks ago, where there's a little bit of, you know, minor fluid or whatever, which is not really a tear, but you sort of get a bit of a feeling of tightness there. So we're not 100% sure what the go will be there, but fingers crossed.
Well, it's a big win. You've got yourself a week off, and I think that you've got yourself a big prelim final to host at ANZ Stadium in a couple of weeks, Dan. Well done. Good luck for the remainder of the final series.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for having me.
I just had a quick question for Steve-O. From the point of view of the crowd, 35,500 people at ANZ Stadium. Now, Frio wouldn't have enormous drawing power there, but I would have thought for 35,000, wouldn't you play at the SCG and be absolutely assured of your home ground advantage?
Oh, absolutely, but of course the contract arrangement there, Dits, they have to play finals at ANZ.
Do they?
It's outdated. They should tear up the contract and just move to the SCG.
The AFL have to take a hit, I reckon. I reckon they just have to say, you know what, whatever the deal was done, rip it up and say, get back to the SCG. That crowd yesterday, that was terrible.
But it lacked atmosphere, Doug.
It did, and watching it on TV, and you can talk, and I know, look, I'm at Seven now, Dids, and we... But the fact that you need to, if you're watching the game home on TV, you want to see the stands full as well. I mean, it doesn't matter.
If I'm the Swans, I want to be playing at the SCG, surely, for the advantage.
Take it further, boys. And I know certain games are scheduled, but wouldn't Saturday night be a better fit for Sydney? Because you look at all the big crowds, it's night, it's against away from rugby league games that are playing and finals of the game. It is, you know, it gives you time for the family to get out there. Yes, it's a late night, but every big crowd I've seen at ANZ has been, the Olympic Stadium has been a night game.
Well, they had to look after Frio, though. They wanted to fly back on the same night.
But why do you have
to
look? Charter them a flight. Why wouldn't you? You're talking the number one ranked team. They should get a choice. They had a choice either Friday night or Saturday day. Yeah. I understand Friday night doesn't work. Why isn't it Saturday night? You know what I mean? Because the winner gets a week off anyway. And the turnaround, you then do the favour with Frio next week in Perth, even if you have to push it back. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense for me.